Everyone, we'll call this meeting to order. I'm Nick Annis, I'm the Vice Chairman of the Emergency Medical Care Committee. Welcome. Why don't we have start on the far left and have everyone introduce themselves first?
Hi, I'm Timothy Greco, St. Jude Hospital Medical Director, Department of Emergency.
I'm Jim Karas. I'm representing the Ambulance Association of Orange County, and I am the Vice President, Chief Operating Officer of the Medicare Ambulance.
Rebecca Gomez, I'm representing the Senior Citizens Advisory Council. I'm a professor at Cypress College in the Health Science Division.
I'm Virgin Arbutus, representing Hospital Association of Southern California.
I'm Kevin Baker. I represent the Orange County Chiefs of Police and the Sheriff's Association. I'm the Chief of Westminster Police Department.
Brian Hoynek, Director of Emergency Services, Placentia Hospital in Placentia, representing OCMA.
Sam?
Sam Stratton, Orange County EMS Medical Director.
Tammy McConnell, Orange County EMS Administrator.
Jin Ha Park, City of Hope Medical Center Radiologist. I'm representing the 2nd District.
Ron Blau, retired. And I'm representing the 1st District.
Okay, very good, guys. Thank you. Next order of business is to approve the minutes from...
Oh, let me get a special presentation.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. We do a special presentation first.
If representatives of St. Jude's Hospital would come up. Sorry, I put on a little weight. Sorry, Ron and I are anteriorly challenged.
Better be posteriorly challenged.
Anyway, we would like to make a special presentation to St. Jude Hospital, and if we can have you guys come behind the gate here. You don't know what happens when you walk behind this gate. Yeah, don't stand on those. No, you can't. It's not uncommon in Orange County or other government or other for other governmental bodies in California to make proclamations, and usually those proclamations, whether it be at the state level or county level, are done by a single representative of that governmental entity. Today, it's a great pleasure to present to St. Jude Hospital a proclamation that is signed, and this is pretty rare in any government, by all 5 members of our Board of Supervisors. It's probably one of the few times they all 5 agree to sign something. So we give this proclamation to St. Jude, and there's a number of reasons why. I'm going to hand this to you because I'm not the best of public speakers, so I have to put my hand in my pocket for some reason. St. Jude is one of our, it was one of our original participants in the EMS system. St. Jude has been a base hospital. In fact, it's a base hospital that covers a large area of the county. St. Jude's not only a real asset and important to us in Orange County, but it's a major hospital that covers large areas of Los Angeles County also, Diamond Bar in particular, in the area west of St. Jude. They some way or other, Cheryl and Dr. Greco are able to coordinate all that, different EMS systems coming in constantly. St. Jude was one of our original cardiac centers. Excuse me. In fact, our use of 12 lead EKGs in the field in Orange County was piloted at St. Jude's. In fact, St. Jude's is the one that pushed the county into doing it in the first place, way before the rest of the nation did. The original studies and pilot studies to look at how to use 12 leads in the field were done at St. Jude. And St. Jude, in fact, funded much of our original work with 12 lead EKGs in the field, which now is an international standard of practice in EMS. But that's not it, or not the end. St. Jude is one of our original stroke centers. In 2009, they participated in what at that time was a controversial program that we developed in Orange County, where we brought, nine comprehensive stroke centers into the system when nowhere else in the country had that been done, because there was a lot of argument about whether having a stroke center that could do more than just primary care was medically effective or efficient. We were very convinced it was in Orange County. St. Jude came in, backed the program. We became the first in the nation to have a system of stroke centers in a county as large as Orange County or anywhere else in the United States at that time. And the irony of all of it is that earlier this year in the New England Journal, which is a very high-level medical journal, two papers were published which totally confirmed the decision to go to these high-level stroke centers. But that's not the end. St. Jude sought Joint Commission verification as a comprehensive stroke center. And EMS was able to participate in that just as a outside observer and also giving information to the Joint Commission. And we realized it was a very vigorous and rigorous process to go through. And in the end, St. Jude was verified fully as a comprehensive stroke center. And to give you an example of what that means, there are between only 30 and 40, I think it's still only 30 in the United States, hospitals out of thousands that are verified as comprehensive stroke centers. 89. Oh, there's 89, sorry. Still small. Thanks. 89 out of thousands. That took my punch away. You should have just let me make a fool of myself. I think, though, when you guys applied, there were only 30. I know that. So it's with great honor that I present this proclamation to St. Jude. This is really the most I wish we could do more, the most we can do at this time. But it's just been incredible having the backup of the base hospital coordinator there, the MICNs, the administration of the hospital, and in particular the physicians in the emergency department. So with that, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thanks
very much.
Sure.
Missed.
Thank you. Cheryl. Can we take pictures?
Photo op.
Newsletter.
Just to prove it happened. All right. One, two, three. Yeah, let's do another one just for good measure. There we go. All right.
Little Sam. That's just not right.
All right, very good. Thanks, Sam. Congratulations again. Okay, now we'll do approval of the minutes from April 24th. Anyone take a look, and I'll take a motion to approve. Motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. And any additions, changes? If not, a vote by everyone to approve? Okay, so it's unanimous. All right, very good. Thank you. All right, medical director's report. Sam?
So, I'll start with the Orange County EMS report in correspondence. Correspondence is in the packets and online for those who wish to, I believe we received two letters. With regard to the medical director's report, a couple of things. We currently have two pilot projects that are occurring in the county. In Anaheim, there's the CCRU project, which pairs a nurse practitioner and a paramedic to respond to low-level calls in the field. And that project is ongoing and appears to be very effective, meeting all the goals for the pilot project. A second project, which is one of a group of state projects, is the alternate destination pilot. That pilot just came up last week, and what this is paramedic teams responding again to low-level calls in the field, and rather than transporting patients to acute care emergency departments, are piloting and testing the efficacy of transporting low-level 911 call patients to urgent care centers that are approved by the Orange County EMS office. Another issue with regard to the medical director's report is our documentation for our electronic patient record policy. It's policy 330.10. It's been out for public comment, and I'm going to ask Laurent to address this. This is a policy that comes from his area of the data management part of Orange County EMS.
Thanks, Dr. Stratton. Policy 300.30 is a policy that references the use of electronic medical records by pre-hospital care providers. The primary purpose of it is to lay out a framework for the methods in which electronic medical records are submitted to the OCEMS. I don't believe that it's in your packet, but it will be posted. It was posted and ran through a 50-day public comment period, but the policy will be approved and signed shortly. So I don't have anything to show you at this moment, but that's the basics of the policy.
Are there any questions from the EMCC that we could answer on that? There is one thing with the policy. It was, when it first went out, there were a number of comments that addressed cost liability and compatibility with the local data system. On Wednesday, the governor signed a bill which essentially supports the policy. I'm not sure when that bill's been cataloged at the state. I'm not sure when it goes into effect. Next is the Orange County EMS annual report, which is in the packet and online if you do not have a packet. This is a report actually required by statute for the EMCC to submit to the state, so it gives a annual analysis, if really descriptive analysis, of the performance, if you will, or data associated with the Orange County EMS system and program. Next on the Orange County EMS report is the 2014 EMS plan, and I'll ask Tammy to pick that one up, as well as the next one, the trauma plan.
Good morning. This goes along with the annual report, but the Health and Safety Code 1797-254 requires the local EMS agency, Orange County EMS, to submit an EMS plan to the state EMS authority and provide annual updates. So last year we submitted a comprehensive plan that had not been submitted for 7 years. So this year's annual update is truly an update of a comprehensive plan that was approved last year. It's heavy in that we've had to replicate the same tables and information that was contained in the prior report, but it also includes the updates to some of the objectives that we had relating to the standards in it. So this will be submitted to the state for approval. We don't anticipate any problems with it. The second report is the Trauma Plan System Status Report. Again, it's the same idea. Under Health and Safety Code, we're required that if we choose to implement a trauma system, we have to develop an initial plan, which we did 30 years ago, and submit annual updates. So this year's report is that annual update. And I think all I would like to point out there is that it denotes the inclusion of Children's Hospital of Orange County as a Orange County EMS designated pediatric trauma center. It also contains trauma system volume and interfacility data. Most importantly, it concludes with a December 2014 white paper that was authored by James Maciel. It's entitled, and I just, this is probably the biggest, proudest thing that we're, this is what I really would really like to point out to the members. If you want to go through this 300-page packet, read this. It's the analysis of pediatric utilization of Orange County emergency medical services and secondary health impact analysis of pediatric trauma. So it's a legitimate research paper to support the designation of CHOC as a pediatric trauma center, looking at our local data. That's all I have for those reports, if anybody has any questions.
I have a question. On the EMS plan, will there be any opportunity for public comment outside of this meeting and or written comment received by the agency before the plan is submitted to the state?
This is a plan update. And so we did not make accommodations for a public comment period because it's merely updating this. It's a factual document. So no, we did not make opportunity for public comment. But if there's something in there that someone has a suggestion for, or if there's a revision that we missed or a correction that needs to be made, we can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to expand on what Tammy just said, we can amend the plan anytime. It doesn't mean that it's in, you know, it's not, it doesn't mean that it's static for a year. It can be amended at any time. In your packet, if there are no further questions for Tammy, in your packet are two letters from Mr. Wontrowski. Yeah, I don't see him in the audience. So these are in the packet and online for members to review. Finally, under the OCEMS report is the scheduling of meetings next year. Per the bylaws, meetings are to be scheduled in January, April, July, and October. And we traditionally do those the last Friday of the month. And I have to look at Eileen and see, do we have those secured yet?
Yes.
So the regular scheduled meetings of the EMCC will be the last Friday for 2016, January, April, July, and October. And we have this room secured. It's difficult to secure this room, but
There's only one change for October. It's the first Friday of the month because of bookings for this room.
Yeah, October 7th.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I believe that concludes the Orange County EMS report.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much, Dr. Stratton. We have subcommittee reports. And advisory group reports next on the agenda, number five. And what, facilities first?
Yeah, so I don't believe there's been a turnover on EMCC. So many of the members, EMCC members that attended these meetings as representatives of EMCC have termed out. Facilities met, and just briefly, There were two primary areas that were discussed. One was issues with behavioral health patients and the prolonged emergency department boarding of behavioral health patients, particularly those under 5150, who required ongoing or further psychiatric evaluation and care. The other thing, and there, this was discussed at length, the other thing in facilities that was discussed was the issue of difficulty during peak times of offloading patients who arrive to the emergency room. It's called wall time in EMS jargon, where patients are kept on gurneys before they're put into a hospital bed. And we discussed many of the techniques and approaches and strategies that hospitals are currently using to try and limit that problem. It's a problem that's prevalent throughout the United States, but one that is difficult to manage. So that was the facilities agenda. Education and training did not meet. There was a concurrent, the State EMS Commission was meeting concurrently, so that meeting was canceled. The County Paramedic Advisory Committee did meet. Again, discussion on problems with offloading patients by EMS crews and then allowing those crews to get back in the field, a lengthy discussion on that. And then there was a discussion on a special policy, the paramedic assessment unit policy, which a paramedic assessment unit is essentially a engine or other apparatus that has a single paramedic on it that responds as essentially a first responder with that paramedic. The paramedic initiates advanced life support care if necessary, while a standard or what's standard in Orange County two-person paramedic team then comes in and takes over the case or participates with that first paramedic to manage the case. So that was discussed at length. There's a lot of discussion about some of the details of policy changes centering primarily around whether there should be a requirement for experience for a paramedic that's working as a single paramedic on a first responding unit. I don't know if Mr. Karras, were you at transportation? So, yeah, and in fact, chair it.
Yeah, the last meeting was July 22nd, and at that meeting, we discussed, got a presentation from Anaheim Fire and Rescue over their pilot program using a CCP nurse and a paramedic to run on certain transports that meet that criteria. It's a pilot program, it seems to be doing well, and the initial report in July was that it was up and running, and since then there's been additional reports. Other than that, we had a report regarding how to, for ambulance providers, to handle
Patients under the public guardian, similar to psychiatric patients when they're on 5150 holds, there's similar types of cases where under the public guardian, the county will access ambulance services. And so there's a presentation on how providers can handle those types of requests. So all in all, it was a good meeting. And our next meeting is October 28th.
And unless there are any questions, that would conclude the subcommittee reports.
Okay, very good. Questions? Okay, thanks, Dr. Stratton. Okay, under unfinished business, the ground ambulance service rate adjustment, both BLS and ALS rates. Tammy?
So As we said before, a lot of the members are brand new, so I'm going to try and quickly go through the part of your packet that explains the history of ambulance rates. For this year's go-around, this started back in March, wherein our office publicly notified the system of the proposed ambulance rate adjustment for fiscal year 15-16. That proposal is based on a board-directed methodology of using all items CPI, the percentage change of all items CPI. Because the rates had not been adjusted in the year before, the recommendation was and the calculation was made to have 2 years worth of CPI. So the end result was a proposed adjustment of 2.4% increase. At the April EMCC meeting, the members were presented with the material that's in your packet that includes history on the ambulance rates, the ordinance authority, differing rate setting methodologies that have been used, and then what the recommendation was from the Ambulance Association of Orange County and Orange County Fire Authority. At our last EMCC meeting in June, that was the meeting wherein the EMCC would have voted on the recommendation. However, EMCC did not have a quorum. Nevertheless, healthcare agency presented to the board the 2.4% increase in July. At that board meeting, the recommendation was presented, but the item failed to carry, and healthcare agency was directed to come back at a later time. So there's been some discussions between our healthcare agency, Ambulance Association, Orange County Fire, and they have reworked their presentations for this board, which I think is a great idea since we have a lot of new members. And so this will be a fresh kind of reset of the proposed rates. So we have two presentations, and one by the Ambulance Association and one by Orange County Fire Authority. I don't know that they're in the packet, but.
Yes.
Okay.
I was waiting for the drum roll. Good morning. My name is Bill Weston, and I am the Director of Operations at CARE Ambulance, and I'm also here representing the Ambulance Association of Orange County today. I've been the Director of Operations at CARE Ambulance for 19 years, and as Ron reminded me this morning, I've been an EMT here in the county for close to 30 years. So I come with a little bit of experience talking about ambulance rates. I've been before the board here several times talking about this, and each time I promise you it's my last year talking about it, but somehow each time I get shanghaied in giving to the presentation again. This year I'm reminded of a Jack in the Box commercial. If those that haven't seen the latest Jack in the Box commercial, Jack is in a classroom environment, and he's talking about a breakfast burrito, and he's starting to talk about the advanced features of Jack in the Box's new advanced burrito, breakfast burrito, and the students in the class look very confused, and Jack says, well, isn't this advanced burrito? And all the students say, no, this is introduction to burrito. So I'm kind of reminded, I teach the same subject over and over again, and I'm going to try and do my best in the short time possible to teach non-healthcare folks on the board a little bit about healthcare reimbursement. So I apologize for those that have significant healthcare experience. It's going to be a little boring for you. So I'll try and liven it up with something a little better than that Jack in the Box commercial. All right, today's discussion, I want to talk to you about reviewing the ambulance billing practices and the EMS ordinance here in the County of Orange. I want to talk to you about adjusting ambulance rates to cover our recent increase in California minimum wage. And I want to talk to you about identifying a consistent method to annually adjust ambulance rates. If there's one slide that speaks of my presentation, it's this slide. Why do I have to bill a dollar to net 23 cents? If I get any bit of information through you today is hopefully we walk out of the room understanding why, as an ambulance company, as a representative of the Ambulance Association, we're forced to bill $1 and only net 23 cents. All right, kind of starting at the basics for those that aren't very familiar with ambulance services. Who sets the rules for ambulance services? Well, the rules are set at the federal level, at the state level, and local level. At the federal level, we have CMS, or as we know it, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Studies. We know it as Medicare. At the state level, we have Medi-Cal, and our local Medi-Cal population is known as CalOptima. On the commercial side or the private insurance side, most of the providers, the Blue Shields, the Blue Crosses, the Kaisers, typically follow the rules established by Medicare. All right. Medicare offers a number of different services. We're only going to talk about two today. Basic life support, and that's at least one person in the ambulance that's certified as an EMT. Here in Orange County, both of the personnel on the ambulance are EMTs, and in advanced life support. In that process, one of those person in the ambulance must be a paramedic. In Orange County, it could be that the paramedic comes from the fire authority or one of our local fire agencies. Today, we're specifically talking about 911 services, not interfacility services. Regulations here in Orange County. So we talked about the federal, talked a little bit about the state. Let's bring it back here to Orange County. In Orange County, we have Ambulance Ordinance 3517. We adopted that in April of 1985, and it hasn't changed much since then, except for some policy adjustments. And that ordinance established the rules and requirements for ambulance services in the unincorporated areas of the county, in the unincorporated areas of the county only. It requires the Board of Supervisors to set ambulance rates. While I said the ordinance only applies to the unincorporated areas of the county, most of the cities in the county have adopted it as their model ambulance ordinance. So in 1985, when the ambulance ordinance was passed, after it was passed here at the county level, it was taken out to most of the cities, and most of those cities adopted it as their ambulance ordinance. So with very few exceptions, we have a similar ambulance ordinance that covers all the unincorporated areas of the county and most of the incorporated cities. Historical board policy. So we had an ambulance ordinance that was created in 1985 that set the framework on how we regulate and oversee ambulances and ambulance rates. And then there's policies underneath that ordinance specific to how do we adjust for ambulance rates. So in 1987, you see that the ambulance companies had to submit data to the EMS agency. It was heard by the health care agency and then submitted to the Board of Supervisors. That policy lasted a whole 2 years. In 1989, they changed it, and it required ambulance companies to submit their data, and the healthcare agency used part of the medical and transportation components of CPI. That lasted a solid 5 years. Then we included night charge. We took night charge, included it into the base rate. That lasted us 6 years. We got to the ambulance companies. Had a difficult time hiring ambulance EMTs. They came to the agency for a one-time adjustment. In 2002, the agency and the board went with a different direction. They indexed the ambulance rates to our surrounding counties. They came up with a new methodology. That methodology lasted 5 years. And then the board adopted a new policy that they used 150% of the consumer price index, the all items CPI. And they did that, try to adjust for the bad debt and contractual allowance. That policy lasted, seems like all these policies last about 5 years, probably a re-election of board members. And in 2013, they implemented the board policy that we use today. That policy is we take the all items consumer price index, all items. In some of our adjacent counties, they use the medical and the transportation component of the CPI. The challenge with using just the medical and transportation component of CPI is they're really volatile. If you think about transportation, most of what drives the transportation CPI is the price of fuel and oil. So if we see a spike in gasoline, then there's a big spike in the transportation CPI. Same with medical. They're both a little more volatile. So we take the volatility out of it here in Orange County, and we use the all items. So it goes across what they call the 21 baskets of the Consumer Price Index. So it's a better representation of the actual cost of doing business here in Orange County. Once again, the rates are brought to the Emergency Medical Care Committee and submitted to the Board of Supervisors for their review and potential approval. All right, who do these rates apply to? These rates only apply to 911 ambulance services here in the County of Orange. You have three primary providers of 911 services that use these ambulance rates. Care Ambulance, I'm the director of Care Ambulance, Emergency Ambulance in Brea, and Doctor's Ambulance, who provide service in the city of Laguna Beach. Those are the primary agencies that use these rates. Any ambulance company that provides backup services on the 911 side also must use these rates. And most ambulance companies index to these rates. They're not required to. They can set their own rate, but most ambulance companies find this is a good benchmark of ambulance rates for the surrounding communities. So it's a good measure. It's a good stick. The current rates are there before you. You have them in your package. I won't belabor the point. What we're going to talk about today primarily is the base rate. We're sitting at 731. When you take our base rate and look throughout the entire state of California, you see that we are third from the bottom. The only people below us is Mono County. Mono County is a health district. It's a health district that provides ambulance service. So in addition to getting transport revenue, they also get a tax subsidy. Mono County is the area where you would go skiing if you went to Mammoth. So the only like county to us that is lower ambulance rates than the entire state of California is Imperial County. Imperial County sits at 672, we're at 731. Sonoma County is the median. That's the median in the state of California. So if we looked at ourselves in a good relationship to the center would be Sonoma at 1231. I also gave you the information trying to look at what we are in relationship to surrounding counties. During the 5 years that we use the surrounding county relationship, each year we even changed what the definition of the surrounding counties were, depending on how it fit the political structure. Some years we would take out Riverside or add Riverside. So trying to give us the best representation of what Southern California, I looked at what the Office of Emergency Services or the state OES, and that's what I used to define Southern California. Once again, very similar, we sit near the bottom. Only Mono and Imperial counties are below us. At the suggestion at the EMS agency, I thought it was a great suggestion, I built you two calls. I call this the tale of two calls. If we have a traffic accident that occurs on the 605 freeway, if the call occurs on the northbound side of the 605 freeway, that call actually occurs in Orange County. If that call occurs in the southbound lanes of the 605 freeway, that call occurs in Los Angeles County. The only thing separating those calls is about an 18-inch center divider. One concrete K-rail divides the counties. It's the exact same ambulance that serves those calls because it's my ambulance coming out of the city of Los Alamitos. It's probably even the same paramedics and fire truck that respond on that same call, probably the engine coming out of Los Alamitos from the Orange County Fire Authority. So if that call occurs in the northbound lanes, the total charge to the patient or more responsibly to their insurance carrier is $797.81. If that call occurs 18 inches differently, the charges are $1,252. The only thing that separates it, once again, same people, same ambulance, same freeway, separated by a K-rail, there's a difference of $454. So that's a substantial difference, and it's driving some problems we're having here in our local EMT system. I want to talk about a little bit about payer mix, because that's going to be a part of the presentation as we get a little bit further down. So in Orange County, on the 911 side and only on the 911 side, specifically from Care Ambulance, because I have Care Ambulance's data and I have emergencies data, we have Medicare transports of 42.9. So about 43% of our patients that we transport are Medicare patients. 23.9, let's call it 24%, are Medi-Cal patients. Regardless of what we do today, regardless of how big or not of a rate you give me, it is going to have no impact whatsoever to Medi-Cal and Medicare. Those rates are set by contract or set by regulation. So you can approve a $10,000 base rate to me. There's not a single impact to a Medicare patient, a senior HMO patient, or a patient that's receiving Medi-Cal. I think that's an important designation to understand. Our private insurance represents about 23% of our patients. Private insurance would be our commercial insurance or products, our Blue Shields, our Blue Crosses, our Cignas, our Kaisers, our Aetnas. Those represent about 23% of our patient. And finally, the remaining is our bill patient or our cash pay is 10.2%. Those are the people that are in our community without health insurance. Total number of ambulance transports between care and emergency last year was a little less than 60,000. Recently, the county went out to bid and took the county and re-evolved it into zones. So the transports that occurred outside of care and outside emergency were in those zones C, D, and E, and they represent a little more than 30,000. So in total, last year, 2014, really seasoned data, those are absolutely accurate payer mixes, and we have a little less than 90,000 patient transports in our 911 system where you have a private ambulance company, meaning a non-city operated ambulance service providing ambulance transport. Those are some important numbers. Here it is in a representation in a pie chart. And having done this before, I put it in a cookie for you. And I put in it a cookie to kind of draw a really specific lesson. In addition to being the director of operations at Care Ambulance, I'm also an EMT educator. So anytime I can use a visual to drive a point, I usually try and do it, especially with my EMTs. So in the case of today, we have a cookie. But we know that if we raise my ambulance rates, Medicare, Medi-Cal, not going to have any impact at all. So if you think of this cookie as the whole system, if you take the Medicare cookie away, you're not going to get to eat any of that cookie. So that cookie has to be sent off to bad debt and contractual allowance. Medi-Cal, you don't get to eat any more of that cookie because it has to go to bad debt and contractual allowance. And cash pay, we're going to talk about cash pay. We don't get to eat any of that cookie. So really all that's left in our cookie analogy is just this green. That's what we're going to focus on today. I apologize, it's a little difficult to see, but we're only going to get to eat the green cookie today. All the other that cookie is going to spoil, and that's represented here in that pie chart for you. So let's talk about who actually pays for ambulance service, because I think that's a big piece of what we need to understand. Medi-Cal, on average, we're going to collect from Medi-Cal $126. Not a single penny is going to be passed on to the patient. It is 100% paid by the state of California or a state of California approved program here in Orange County that would be CalOptima. Medicare, they're going to pay us on average $379. Once again, any amount above that is written off. It is part of what we call contractual allowance. We don't get any more. Once again, I can have a $10,000 base rate, but there is no additional impact to that senior or permanently disabled person other than that $379. Who pays for ambulance service? Just like who pays for a hospital. It's the commercial insurance carrier. It's no different. What's ambulance service cost? That's always a big target, and that's a big target for Medicare. So Medicare actually commissioned a report by the Governmental Accounting Office. The last report they published was in October 2012. On average, across the nation, ambulance service cost ambulance companies $429 to provide, the total cost of service. So you go back, if it costs us $429, obviously we lose when we provide transport to Medi-Cal. We do a little bit better for Medicare It's almost break even. And the thing that really drives the system, that keeps the system alive, same thing that keeps a hospital alive, is commercial insurance. All right, so let's talk about the patients with that have no ability to pay, because that always factors into the equation every year, as it should. So this year I spent a lot of time with the data of our people that have no insurance. In Care Ambulance, last year, 2014, we transported 53,000 patients. Care Ambulance alone. I'm very comfortable with CARE's data because it comes from my ambulance company. I can stand on a stack of Bibles and swear to this data. 53,542 transports in Orange County. Of that, 5,798 of those patients had no insurance, even after we applied for whatever program was available at a hospital, Medi-Cal or any of the other state programs. We were left with 5,700 patients that had no insurance. Of that 5,700, only 311 of those patients actually wrote us a check to pay their ambulance bill. What I'm trying to say is patients that don't have any health insurance, their priority is not to pay their ambulance bill. It's really not. It's putting food on the table, keeping a roof over their head. So when we make decisions, we need to understand that when we adjust ambulance rates, we're not having a big impact to those 311. 53,542, only 311 actually wrote a check. In the city of La Palma, it was 2. In Los Alamitos, it was 5. Fountain Valley, 15. Anaheim had the largest, but it's the largest city there, only 116. So Mr. and Mrs. Smith are not writing a check for ambulance service. It's just not happening. And they're not writing a check for your ED visits either. It's coming from an insurance carrier. So last time I had a chance to talk to you in June, we talked about the oncoming train. Well, that train is just about here, and that's the increase in minimum wage. And on top of that, the shift of our payer mix. We've seen a shift, just like the hospitals, of patients that had great insurance products over to Medi-Cal or some other program. We have to fix that. So here's the increase in minimum wage. January 28, we started at 8, and January of this year, we're gonna finish at 10. That's a 25% increase in minimum wage. No business can sustain itself with a 25% increase in minimum wage without an adjustment. Why minimum wage for an EMT? That doesn't make sense. These are trained professionals. Why are they paid a minimum wage? Well, minimum wage is typically for somebody who works a 4, 6, or an 8-hour job. There's no overtime. The business closes at 5 o'clock or closes at 11 o'clock. It's not staffed 24 hours a day. Ambulance EMTs work a 24-hour shift. On average, they work, they work 10 24-hour shifts in a month. So they work a 56-hour week. They have to be paid overtime after 40 hours. So on average, an annualized EMT salary is about $29,000 a year. With that 25% increase, it's gonna go up to about $34,000, $35,000 a year. That's a big hit, but I have to pay wages in accordance with federal and state requirements. I can't deviate from that. And I don't think you're asking me to. I think a $35,000 a year wage for an EMT is a good wage. That's a fair wage, and that's what we're talking about. If we take that wage and pass it to our EMTs between Care Ambulance and Emergency Ambulance, your primary 911 providers, that's a $3.6 million hit. That's all to wages, not a single penny to the ambulance company. That's all passed through in wages to the ambulance EMTs. So our challenge, we can't unilaterally raise our rates. We can't do it. Burger King can make that adjustment. 7-Eleven can make that adjustment. I can't make that adjustment. I have to go through a regulatory process. I can't adjust my hours. Burger King, McDonald's, Home Depot, they can adjust their hours. They can start later, close earlier. I can't. I'm here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So when somebody in your community calls 911, you have an 8-minute or less response time. So I have structural challenges. They're great challenges to have. Remember, I can't increase or I'm not gonna get any more from Medi-Cal, Medicare, Senior HMO, or Cal Optima. So all that 3.6 cost must be shifted to 23% of our payers. Only the green cookie we get to eat this year. So here's the math formula. I'm trying to get there. We had 89,000 patients. 3.6 million is the target. We divide that by the 89,000. That's $40 exactly. You take the $40, adjust it by the 23%, because remember, only the green cookie is going to pay us any more. That means we need to add $173.20 to our base rate. So if we're successful and you understand the presentation and agree with us, and we added that to the base rate, where would that put us? Put us still near the bottom. And this is before those other counties make that same adjustment. I promise you, the meeting we're having today is the same meeting they're having, probably not today, but coming up. We're still near the bottom. We're just above Madera County and Ventura County, below Marin County. So we're not changing our status that significantly in the state of California. We're still near the bottom. We're still well below the median of the state of Sonoma. It hasn't changed. Surrounding counties, it kind of puts us in the center of the surrounding counties where the old policy put us before. It puts us right where the old policy put us before. And then we go back to that same 605, that same call on the 605 freeway, same northbound, southbound. We are still $281 cheaper than to be on the wrong side or the south side of the 605 freeway. So who pays the increase? We've talked about it. It's commercial. It's commercial, it's commercial, it's commercial. Less than 1% of commercial spending is actually related to ambulance. We're actually kind of the dust in their pockets. We are fiscal dust in their pockets related to all of the spending in healthcare. This cost is by federal design. We didn't design the system, just like you didn't design the system. We just have to live in the system. And by not billing us or allowing us to bill, we're providing a subsidy. And we're doing it at the expense of our EMCs. So if we're successful in making the argument, here's what it does. It's just a quick representation. Medi-Cal, we used to bill 731, goes to 904. The impact to the patient remains completely unchanged. There's no impact to the patient at all. 126 still comes from the program. The rest is written off. Medicare or a senior HMO, same thing. The important impact to the senior or the person permanently disabled, $379, comes from the program. No change whatsoever to the beneficiary. The only change is on the commercial side. Finally, ambulance profits. In the past, board members have asked to see ambulance companies' financial statements. They're all privately held companies. They were very reluctant to share that with you. That's changed. 2014, the county had an ambulance RFP. Guess what? As part of that RFP requirement, anybody that submitted a RFP was required to submit a copy of their CPA audited financial statements. Those are on file with the county. I've pulled them all, and I can give you the summary. You had seven ambulance companies that submitted RFPs to the county. Seven ambulance companies turned in audited financial statements. Six of those companies were from Orange County. One from was from Los Angeles. Of the six that were from Orange County, three of them showed a loss in the year, and they were looking at 2013, their fiscal year 2013, since they were 2014 RFPs for a 2015 implementation. Three of the six, so 50% of the ambulance companies, showed a loss. The three that showed a profit only showed a profit between 2 and 7%, so not a huge amount. The one ambulance company that showed the most profit was a non-Orange County-based ambulance service from Los Angeles. So all the profits are not in ambulance service, just like they're not the profits in being an ED. So the future, how do we make sure we stay out of this process? We have to have an annual process, and it's got to be an annual process that sets the rates. To avoid this conflict and this kind of consternation that we find ourselves in every couple of years, we got to have a process that is really a math formula and non-political. A math formula the Board of Supervisors approves, they approve one time, and then they delegate that authority to the EMS agency to administer. And then every other year, we do an annual rate survey, and we keep us in the center. We're not asking to be at the top, but we can't be at the bottom. Keep us in the middle. We're not unreasonable guys. Recommended actions, here's what we're asking you to recommend to your supervisors. We're asking you that you increase our BLS base rate from 731 to 904. 100%, I'm telling you again, 100% is for EMT wages. Not a single penny falls to the ambulance company's bottom line. All covering wages. And we ask that you ask the Board of Supervisors that we have a sustainable system that is a math formula that is sent to the EMS agency for annual adjudication. Let's stop making this presentation every year. Let me retire giving this presentation, please. I can only buy a cookie one more time, and I hope it's for my next birthday and not this next presentation. So I'm here, and I'd be happy to answer any of your questions. And by the way, yes, you can enjoy the cookie. There's plates, and you can, even after today, eat any of the green section, too.
Okay, very well done. Thank you. Tammy?
This is the time for any questions for Bill.
Questions from committee?
Thank you. Thank you very much for your time and attention.
You bet.
So we have Jimmy Wayne from Orange County Fire Authority who will present on the ALS rates.
I bet you didn't bring a cookie.
You bad opening act. Once again, my name is Jimmy Wayne from the Orange County Fire Authority. In terms of background, following up on Bill, I've been in the ambulance RFP rate business for hitting 15 years. Part of the reason for this presentation today is also educate this panel on how EMS works in Orange County. Over the last couple years, and in your document package, there's a lot of misinformation going on about how service is delivered. Part of our outreach campaign, we're actually going to start with our board again next in 2 weeks, is giving them facts about what's really happening. The way it works with the Orange County Fire Authority is we provide the ALS service. As Bill said, that's the two paramedics that show up. Within our billing agreement, which is authorized by Medicare, you'll read some things that the Medicare is the rebates, the reimbursements are not legal. They are legal. Medicare approves reimbursements for services provided. Only the ambulance providers that provide the transport can bill. And that's the way it works. So what we do every year is we take the BLS rate of 2.4 as recommended by the staff, and we say we ask the Board of Supes to approve an ALS level increase by that same amount. Once again, the intent of the contract is to make it revenue neutral. They get 2.4, we get 2.4. Additionally, we go back and we do an internal fee study. We have our outside CPA come in and say, are our costs the marginal cost of providing the services? Annually, we provide that to the board. There's some talk out there that this is not the marginal cost. It is approved, and we do not recover our full cost. Best case is 63% on a commercial pay. What we're asking for here is the Ambulance Association is asking for the $173 increase. We are not asking for that. We're going to stick with the board or the county recommended policy of 2.4%. What we're looking for here, and I'll go from top to bottom in terms of a little bit of education. What the Ambulance Association does is what we call the peach part up there. We get a 911 call. They provide basic life support. They go out, they bill the customer, they reimburse us X amount for some supplies, and off they go. In the event our paramedics have to provide either an assessment or accompany the patient, where I've highlighted in yellow there is what we call the ALS increment. That transport required another level of service provided generally by the OCFA paramedics. Currently, that incremental rate is $387. We're looking to go up $9.30 based on the 2.4 increment. This is part of the education process. We're constantly asked is why when you go on a call, is there a paramedic, an engine, two engines, and an ambulance? A couple reasons going on there. One is we're very risk averse. How many times does someone call 911 saying someone isn't feeling well and you find out that someone's not feeling well because they're having a heart attack? What we do is we always send two paramedics, as Bill said. If it's a PA unit, which one unit has a paramedic, the other one will send the two engines, and we always send a private ambulance to do the transport. And the reason for that is really for efficiency. So you get four types of calls that come into 911 and the ultimate outcome. What I say number one is we get there, there's no transport needed. The patient's fine, misread, you go down. It doesn't cost the patient anything in OCFA jurisdictions. The maximum reimbursement to OCFA is zero. And operationally, which I've added in the bottom line, which people miss, is both units are freed up right away. Second scenario is we send a paramedic and the private once again. The patient does require a level of assistance, but it does not require an advanced life support or paramedic intervention. That patient still has to be transported. It takes that private ambulance out of service But what it does is free up our units to provide constant service to the surrounding community and not being against, as Dr. Stratton said, wall time in an ER room. Patient doesn't require that unit, that level of service. Our paramedics do not need to be there. Third scenario is an interesting one as well. We go out there, we perform an assessment, we perform X amount of required tests, we say, okay, we believe the patient is stabilized. Once again, our paramedics are not required to transport with that patient. Once again, we're free to provide additional units. That private ambulance company is now in the ER providing service to the patient. And number four is what we generally call a very bad day. We go out there, the private ambulance goes out there, the paramedic, the patient does require an ALS assessment and requires that the paramedics transport with him to the hospital. Though in that case, both the private and the OCFA units are out of service. You'll often hear this called the public-private partnership, where they focus on the dollars a lot. What we try to focus on is really the operational benefits. The idea is to keep our units available to continue to provide service when needed. Once again, following up on Bill's chart, there's a lot of bad information going out there that by raising these rates, raising the reimbursements, hurts the elderly and the low income. Following up almost with a very similar chart to Bill did, if you go from left to right, the HMO PPOs, yep, they'll get hit by about a $9.30 increase. Medicare, Bill is absolutely right. As you guys, I was trying to pull, I think, six or seven of you are associated with hospitals. You can bill Medicare anything you want. They're going to pay what they're going to pay. Same thing with CalOptima and Medi-Cal, same thing. You can go ahead and bill, but you're going to get what they're going to give you. We're also noticing a pretty significant shift in payer mix. Under the Affordable Care Act, where people used to offer commercial insurance, being a finance guy and you're a business owner, you start shifting to those type of packages to help your business out. So what we're noticing, and Bill's confirming, is the Medi-Cal, CalOptima patients are growing. Commercial is going down, CalOptima is going up. I also add a little slide to the right there that says, okay, what's the real impact to the Medicare patients? As I said, bill Medicare all you want. They're going to pay you, for our ALS level service, $76. On a Medi-Cal or a CalOptima, we get zero. And the idea behind this back in 2004 was we wanted to stay revenue neutral. If the ambulance providers don't get anything, we certainly can't charge for our services. Ambulance providers are capped with Medicare. We only want the difference of what Medicare will allow. And then commercial patients is what we try to get with an equitable amount. But once again, as you look at the chart, we're not even close to cost recovery. Calling follow up my Bill's chart, I'll focus really down on the bottom. Even with the proposed increase, we'd be about 46% behind the surrounding counties and the state. What we're asking for here is to approve the proposed 2.4 increase in the billing rates subject to our OCFA Board of Directors meeting. The reason we say that is our board, we've called a special session for our board on October 15th. In the event the Board of Supes approves the $173 increase to the BLS rate, our reimbursement contracts as written would not be beneficial to them, because we're tied to that increase. So we're going to go to our board recommending that we discuss this, discuss the billings for this year, and also the pass-through. But I'm supposed to say questions. Any questions?
Questions from the committee? Okay, thank you very much. All right, so we need to make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors on each of these recommended actions. So the first that we should entertain a motion for is to approve or not approve a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors for a BLS rate adjustment from $731.41 to $904.61.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone not in favor? Okay, unanimously approved. And the second recommended action is to approve or not approve an increase in the ALS rates to a 2.4% increase to the advanced life support billing rate. And this would go also to the Board of Supervisors upon our recommendation. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
I'll be abstaining.
Abstain? Okay. One abstention. Any not in favor? Okay. So both recommended actions are approved to move on to the Board of Supervisors. All right, very good. Right, Sam, do you want to take this one?
Yeah, I'm going to ask Mr. DeLobby from our office to present the trauma policies and procedures for recommended action. Recommend to the EMS agency to approve. And again, much of the background for at least the pediatric trauma policies and procedures is in the trauma plan, which is attachment number 4. We did a really, a very detailed health impact analysis at the close of last year to look at pediatric trauma in Orange County. So many of these plans are based on that health impact analysis. And Mr. DeLobby, if you don't mind going ahead and giving a synopsis of those plans and an analysis of public comment.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Stratton. So in your packet under attachment 8, you'll find several documents, most of them policies. The first one is actually the OCMS policy public comment and responses. So these policies were placed for public comment from April 1st to May 20th of this year, and we took in public comment based on policy revisions. So then you'll also see 5 trauma policies that have to do with facility and system operations. And those are the policies that have been revised, and then 1 new policy, which is a pediatric trauma center policy. So to kind of give you a little history on this, we brought these policies to pre-public comment to the Regional Trauma Operations Committee from July 15th of 2014 to September 15th of 2014, and we took in comments and suggestions to revise the policies. Those comments and suggestions were reviewed by the committee, the Regional Trauma Operations Committee, on October 7th of 2014. From those comments, we took the all of their comments, and then we also looked at the new national standards from the American College of Surgeons, Optimal Care of the Injured Patient for 2014, state trauma regulations, local standards and operations, and we revised all of the mm-hmm. trauma policies. Those policies then went for public comment from April 1st, 2015 to May 20th, 2015. Again, referring back to the agenda packet, we took all of those public comments and we assimilated them, and we made policy revisions based on the public comments. Those comments, the policies, then went back to the Regional Operations Trauma Committee on July 14th, 2015. Where we made additional changes based on recommendations from the Trauma Operations Committee members. The policies you have before you are the final policies that are have all of the revisions assimilated into the policies, and we provided a final copy and a redlined version of each of those policies.
All right.
Is there any questions?
Questions?
Are there any public comment, Eileen? None.
Okay. Do we need to vote to approve these?
Yes. Or? So the vote that we're looking for is a recommendation for Orange County EMS to approve the policies as presented.
Okay. We'll take that. Someone want to make a motion to approve this report?
Dr. Stratton? Every comment that came from the review was accepted by Orange County EMS agency as a revision. It looks like a really healthy process.
I'll have to have Mike respond to that.
So a large majority of the comments were accepted, and there were changes that were made. Times where comments or changes were not made to the policies would be if they were in conflict with national standards or state regulations.
Move the item.
Okay. So I need a motion to approve the trauma policy and procedures as revised.
Motion.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Any comments? suggestions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, very good. Unanimously approved. All right, new business. Any new business? Sam, you have anything?
No. Item C, I've asked the chair to table that until the next meeting. That's the discussion we've had at the last meeting regarding the membership of the Education and Training Advisory Subcommittee and reorganizing that committee. So at the request of Orange County EMS, we'd like to request that be tabled until the next meeting.
Okay. Any objections to that? Okay. All right. Very good. Thanks, Sam. Any new business to bring to the committee? Everyone's pretty quiet. How about member comments? We can start at the far left. Dr. Greco, any?
Thank you.
I have none.
None for me.
Okay.
None for me.
No comment.
I'd just like to comment and publicly recognize St. Jude's and Dr. Greco, because I work in a competing hospital down the street, and they've been incredibly supportive in terms of getting collaborative. It's competitive. They have been so supportive in terms of transportation, in terms of stroke care, and they've done everything right, and they need, and the public needs to know that they continue to do everything right in terms of what's important for patient care and patient care services.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't recognize people as they were recognized, and that needed to happen, and they need to know their staff's doing everything right. And they've made a process in terms of getting strokes transferred from one that could have been very, very difficult over the years to one that's very seamless now. And it's all about patient care.
Yep.
And that's what needs to happen every time. And that's what we're all here for. So I just wanted to make sure they were publicly recognized.
Thank you, Dr. That's a very nice endorsement.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you bet. Further comments from the membership? Yeah. Okay, very good. How about, Arlene, any public comments? All right, any final issues, Sam, that we need to talk about other than announce the next meeting?
None that EMS has, no.
Okay, so the next meeting will be after Christmas, Friday, January the 29th, 2016. And if there's no other business, I think we are moved to adjourn.